This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeah, picture yourself in a sticky situation. What the hell? You don't want to face it. What else can we do but turn to the internet for advice? That's right.
I don't know what I did to piss you off.
Did you like that?
I loved that.
I actually really loved it. And I needed to hear it.
Yeah. And I had to have a little dance break
during it.
Yeah. But you're welcome to anybody watching at home.
Yeah. You could be watching these on YouTube still. We're still recording the Zooms and uploading these as a video podcast if interested.
That's true.
If Pinterested.
And it is Pinteresting.
That was Eric from Vancouver. And as far as plugs go, my band, Bad Magic, just put out a Halloween-themed single / music video called Devilish Ways.
Sweet.
I wrote, recorded, mixed, mastered, filmed, and edited the whole thing in less than 3 weeks. Wow. Good job.
Filmed?
Yeah.
Was it a music video?
Maybe. Eric from Vancouver, Canada. Hope to see you guys live again someday. There you have it.
All right. I love it.
Eric with a C. Not quite as cool as Eric with a K, huh?
But I don't know. Eric,
nobody's perfect. Way. Nobody's perfect.
I actually really like the name Eric. Either way, I think they're good.
Really?
Eric Hurwitz. What do you think of that? For either my son or me, Eric.
Well, for you, it's too late. You don't get to decide that.
Yeah.
You'd have to legally change my name. You'd have to give it to the next generation, Eric or Erica or something Eric related.
Right. Yeah. I could give it to one of my children for sure, but I could also have them call me that instead of dad, because that's kind of like a given name.
Eric,
you know,
is,
dad, daddy, dada, or Eric.
They won't call you Eric. Eric's an interesting one because, like, I get thinking Eric is fine, but, like, as a new parent, you can choose anything in the world to make a list and narrow it down all the way to this one ultimate name and land on Eric. Who's doing that?
Well, it's an old world name. I feel like it's one of the oldest names, isn't it?
And it's I don't think it's biblical, so maybe there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to go non-Bible old name, maybe Eric is the goat.
Yeah, Eric's pretty, it's a strong name. Also, I think it's probably a family name at this point.
Yeah, like, you know? My great-grandfather's name was Eric.
So Eric, you get, yeah. Sir Eric, and now you're little Eric, Eric Jr.
Who's the most famous Eric?
Prince Eric from the Little Mermaid.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Eric Dyer, defender for the Tottenham Hotspur.
No way he's the most famous.
He was on the World Cup team, didn't play much, but he did make the cup. He's made a few mistakes this season, but ultimately he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites. I really love Eric Dyer.
Prince Eric, anyway. Did you say? Was that your first one?
I think the princes in Little Mermaid name was Eric. Also, Prince Eric is what I call Eric Dyer, my favorite Spurs player.
Yeah. Prince Eric is also what you call your little dick.
Nice. But I actually have a huge to normal size cock. Maybe a little small for some, but just right for me, asshole.
I was just kidding. Actually, speaking of shrinkage, how were your polar plunges?
They were great. They were great. Each unique in their own way and a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So we were talking about this pre-New Year's that you had two polar plunges planned.
That's correct.
And then during the course of the week, there was some sort of polar vortex happening in the East Coast.
'Twas quite cold. So I think we talked about my sister, Sarah, invited me to the polar plunge in New Haven.
Yeah.
And then Pat Castles invited me to the polar plunge in Coney Island.
Right.
What I did not know is that Sarah was not inviting me to a sanctioned polar plunge. She was just inviting me to jump in the ocean.
Got it.
So that was not with anyone. She was just like, let's do it the day after Christmas. So when I found that out, that we could go anywhere, I texted my cousin Scott, who lives on the shoreline in Connecticut, in Bridgeport. And I was like, do you want to do this too? My buddy Nate lives there. He actually does the polar plunge every Sunday all through the winter.
Wow.
Multiple times a year. Did it twice that day that we did it. He went back in the afternoon.
Oh my gosh. He's like upset. Yeah. He's addicted to the plunge.
It's a lifestyle. And I found that out. But that first day, so we went, me, Micah, Sarah, Nate, and my cousin Scott, drove out, met at Scott's house.
Any second guessings, like when it was like 22 degrees and you're like in a jacket, you're like, maybe we shouldn't do this?
I was looking at, like, so I think the day before Christmas, it was that crazy polar vortex and it got down to like 8 degrees. And I went outside and it was so cold and I was like, this is going to be awful. But I saw that like by Monday it was going to be up to like 28 degrees. So I was like, maybe that'll feel warmer.
Right.
So I wasn't ever going to back out, but I was like, this is going to be really cold.
Yeah.
And then we got out of the car. We drove there with the heat on. It was like 80 degrees in my car and we had our jackets on.
Oh, interesting. So is that like a technique? You're there. Trying to like steam yourself so that the cold feels refreshing.
I don't know if it's a technique. It was our technique for that day.
Yeah.
And then we pulled up to the beach and it was like the tide pools were frozen solid.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be really, really fucking cold.
Because it hadn't been above 30, above freezing in days.
Yeah.
So everything was frozen.
Right. But I made the mistake of taking my shoes and socks and sweatpants off at the car and walking down to the beach. Because like that's just what you do when you go to the beach,
right.
But not when it's this cold. So by the time we're standing near the shore, I'm like, I've moved off the ice. I'm standing on the sand, but I'm starting to lose feeling in my toes. It's so cold.
Are you shivering? And, like teeth chattering?
No, the adrenaline is pumping and I'm acutely aware of how cold my feet are, but that's it. And I'm kind of thinking like, let's go, let's get this over with. And I'm like, is it time? And then we just walked in and it
just
was really cold. Yeah, just walked in nice and steady. It was very cold, but I was definitely fixated on my feet because they had been cold before we went in. They're the first things to hit the water.
Yeah.
So it was like pins and needles feeling almost like
pain.
Knives stabbing my feet, pain in my feet. But the water was like 40, it was 25 degrees out, but it was like the water was 45 degrees.
Right.
So it felt very cold, but it didn't feel like I was hurting myself aside from my feet. And I couldn't really feel anything except for the pain in my feet.
So numb, but then pain in feet.
Yeah.
Did you leave the car running?
Yeah, car was still running. It was like, you know, 50 yards away. It was really close. It was a small beach. I think it was actually called Small Beach. And Nate does this all the time. He showed up with like big duck boots with the laces taken out, wearing like a jacket, his beanie. Like
he had the technique.
He was a pro.
Down.
He's wearing the boots on the beach. And I realized when I saw him, I was like, I should have done that. And he was trying to stay in for 5 minutes. And
what about you?
The rest of my family, we just went. I think we ended up staying in for like, from the moment our feet hit the water to when we got out, it was like a minute and 20 seconds.
Okay, pretty long for frozen water plus frozen air. And then is there any relief when you walk out, or is it still just really cold?
That was the interesting thing. It was really bad when we walked out because the water was a little bit warmer than the air, and outside it was kind of like 25 and a little windy.
Right.
So I was like shivering, frozen to my core. My feet had lost all feeling, and I was kind of like walking back to the car, and I was walking on the asphalt, like walking on the road, and it felt like I was walking on a cloud, like slippers. And I was like, I know this doesn't feel like this. And that's just like how I knew that my feet had lost all feeling.
Like, I also could dunked have cut under your feet and not felt anything.
Yeah. I dunked under three times. I did, or four times. I like dunked under twice just like to feel it. And then on my way back in, I just had like a rush and I went under again and again. And the last time I came up, I had like tunnel vision. I couldn't really, I was like, oh my God.
So were you ever scared, or you like, kind of like pounding, kind of crazy?
No, it was awesome. I've like felt really invigorated and alive afterwards. And we're all like hugging and taking selfies, and when you first got out of the water, it didn't feel cold because I was just like so amped. Then I'm standing there like trying to like dry my shoulders off, but I didn't know if I should dry my feet or my shoulders, and my feet were so cold. And then I was like, I need to get back to the car, I'm gonna die.
And then
Scott
was the car warm,
breakfast quesadillas, and the car was warm. I couldn't feel my feet, so Sarah had to drive us back to Scott's house, cooked us breakfast, and it was lovely. It was really great.
When did you finally feel like back to normal?
I felt back. I mean, I got feeling back in them over the next like 2 hours. And then that afternoon I played squash with my brother and I broke a sweat. And that was when I was like, okay, I'm like,
oh wow,
all of the effects of being cold are gone. And then the polar plunge in Coney Island was like the opposite of that. It was like not just a quaint thing where we pulled up to the beach with some loved ones and walked in. It was like we drove to, first of all, I partied on New Year's and I was so hungover I threw up in the morning, and I was like, I really wanted to back out. But like the night before, in my drunken stupor, I had convinced like four other people to go. So I was now like carpooling with people. I couldn't drive. Like, I went to Jill and I was like, can you please drive?
Like 8 a.m.
We left at 11. I was so hungover. I was so ill. Jill was downstairs making us breakfast, and the smell of browning butter made me throw up, and I couldn't eat. She got me coffee, and I couldn't drink it.
How did you drive half an hour to Brooklyn or deep, whatever it is, to go to Coney Island?
Yeah. I mean, twice Jill pulled over because I thought I was going to have to throw up. I kept on just like covering my eyes and saying, oh my God. I was like the kind of hangover where I like couldn't even like be jovial or entertaining about it.
This is just yesterday. Monday. Yesterday. This was Sunday.
Yeah, this was Sunday. And I was like, I couldn't feel nervous or excited about the polar plunge. I was full of regret because I was like, I imagined myself like running in and feeling really good and like
being like, wow, that was a hangover cure. Experience. Now I have to do that whenever I'm sick.
So I'm like, so I'm so miserable going there. But then, and then we like drop people off. We parked the car. All of the lots are full. There's like a line around the corner of people who've like registered for the polar plunge, and you get like a free t-shirt and stuff. There are thousands of people there. It's a full on carnival. It's at Coney Island with like the cyclone and all that shit, with the boardwalk and Nathan's. There's like, it's a party. There's like a live band. There's a DJ. There's people in costumes. By the time we got through, I had eaten half of the sandwich that Jill had made, and I was like starting to feel a little bit better. And like we were there with Amanda, Pat Castles, Vinny, Hannah, Amanda's girlfriend, or fiance Kim, and Micah's girlfriend Jill, and one of her friends. So it was like a big crew, and I was starting to feel like being around people. I was like, you know, this is yeah. fine. My brain is still feeling very, very slow, and I'm feeling ill.
Was anybody else as hungover as you?
No, not at all. I ate half the sandwich, and then I was feeling a little better, but I had to stop because I thought I might throw up. We get through registration, and then I'm starting to feel pretty good. And then by the time we get to the beach, I finish the sandwich.
Oh.
When I take off my shirt, I'm feeling...
Yeah.
I'm feeling like excited again. This is the hangover cure in action.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty warm. It's like 50 degrees and sunny. Jill wasn't even in a jacket. I was just there in a hoodie.
Yeah.
But the water is basically the same temperature as the first plunge. So like 44 degrees.
But it feels colder because it's colder than the air.
Yeah, it's colder than the air. But at the same time, the air was like so warm that like it really felt perfectly fine to be there, even in a t-shirt.
Oh, wow.
And then we all like we even like hung out on the, it wasn't like before where we like, as soon as we were on the beach, we needed to get in the water and get back in the car. We were like hanging out on the beach being like, when should we go? Is it time?
Right.
Did some jumping jacks. And then we all ran in and I like went back in. It felt so good.
So that was the first one prepared you. Because it was below freezing in and out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could see, like, it might have been a miserable experience if it was 25 and everyone was on the beach. But it was like a day you could have a picnic.
Right.
So it really felt like a party.
In the sun, the water was actually warming you. You didn't have to run to a warmed up car.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And was it indeed a hangover cure?
I felt completely fine afterwards. 100% cured. And then I got sick again on the car ride back.
Because that was sort of just car-related.
Yeah. At the very least, it felt like the hangover cure I was hoping for.
Interesting. Do you think that...
I'm converted. I'm going to do it again and again this winter.
You're going to do it like weekly?
I don't think I can get to the beach every week, but I'll do it every month.
Wow. That's a guarantee.
That is a guarantee. Because I'm going to go surfing every month. So I'll at least get in the ocean. And if it's... And I think I will also run into my bathing suit and do the cold plunge.
Would you do it in the snow? If it's snowing on the beach.
Yeah, that sounds like a lovely time to do it. I've already done it when it was 25. So if it's like, if it's, let's call it 30 and snowing. That sounds really nice. A nice fluffy snow, the kind that's not totally sticking.
Yeah,
I would definitely do that.
I don't think I've ever seen snow on the beach. Is that like, I guess that's a very specific East Coast thing, but there could be snow where the sand is, right? I've never seen that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it happens all the time.
All right. I mean, I'm definitely not doing it, but it would make for great photos, I think, right? Like if you're like sort of in your underwear doing a snow angel on a beach.
Yeah. If you want to, when you're in town at the end of January... If you want to go to the beach, you don't have to go in, but I'll do the polar plunge then.
Oh, that's good. I'll bring a drone or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. We can go on TikTok live.
I can't even do like a cold shower. It's too cold.
Yeah. You don't like the cold.
Don't like the cold. It's actually, it's 61 here now, and I'm kind of freaking out.
Right.
I almost canceled this podcast recording.
You're in a parka.
And it's 70 in my house, but just the fact that I can see something in the 60s, it's kind of, I'm also getting the numb feet thing, I think.
It's eye-opening. It's scary.
All right, so I guess your unsolicited, premature advice is polar plunges are good.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a convert.
All right, let's take a break, thank some sponsors, come back and answer some questions after these massages.
Right on.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Okay. Your unsolicited was indeed the polar plunge, right?
That's correct.
You're recommending it.
Correct. Yeah. Highly recommend it. I think it's great.
Did it have any carryover effects, or is it more like a rush of natural adrenaline?
I don't know. I feel like I'm sure you could find stuff online that says that there's a lot of health benefits. And I bet there's a lot of people online that would say that it's really bad for you too. I don't know. For me, it was all about the rush effects, the immediate aftermath, that endorphin dump, that feeling
yeah.
like I'm the king of the world. And right. I mean, I'm still happy when I think about it. So that's a good enough effect for me.
Yeah. Even a temporary adrenaline is good, right? Because you rarely get that in a normal life.
Totally. I'm a seeker.
All right. Questions, answers?
I have a question. I want to know what your ass did for New Year's. Like, which parties did you go to? Which clubs did you attend? What festivals?
We did a rave,
did you
a day rave at Redondo Beach that sort of blended into a night rave.
That was that 48-hour party, right?
Yeah, it was a silent tiki disco. Actually,
I gave you a Viking funeral.
I did go out, though I didn't want to, because it was the rainiest night in years in LA. There was like pouring rain to the point where there were like power outages all around town.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So it was just like pouring rain. Cars were like hydroplaning, puddles everywhere. Like you couldn't drive more than 40 miles per hour. And then people were throwing parties. One that we arrived to that didn't have electricity. So we didn't even park and we just left right away. Then there was another one that didn't have electricity, but everyone used their iPhone flashlight to kind of illuminate the room enough to hang out and see one another.
Wild.
But it was still a relatively tame evening where I went out, saw some people, friend of the podcast, George Basil included,
nice.
But was back home by midnight. Definitely back home to see the ball drop.
You saw the ball drop at your house?
Yeah. Well, the replay, the midnight version for LA.
Right. Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. But you were home pre-midnight.
Yes, home pre-midnight. Again, pouring awesome. Rain, scary cars, no parking, no electricity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Terrified to be outside.
And did you... So you didn't like Lyft or Uber. You you were designated driver.
Yeah, I was gonna go there. I'm like, I'm not drinking a lot tonight. It's just terrible. It's cold. It's wet. I can hardly even like walk to my car without getting soaked. I wasn't about to like go ham.
Yeah. Did you dress up or were you wearing like that hoodie?
I was wearing that hoodie, but with a rain jacket over it. Because again, thick, heavy yeah. plumes.
Of, right.
Yeah, scary rain.
Scary rain.
Yeah, it wasn't
you
even nice
such
rain.
A baby,
it was,
man.
It was dark, in LA. Dark and you're cold just, rain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, a no traffic light based rain.
You know, it was freezing and rainy here, and that didn't even come up for me. It didn't even
really?
Factor.
That's cool. No. Well, you didn't have to drive anywhere.
I took an Uber to dinner. And I took an Uber to Mike's house.
Was so, it yeah. crazy? Was Uber surging?
No. It was
normal.
Yeah, it was nothing.
It was
normal.
I was thinking, like, remember, like in 2008, like when midnight happened, you used to get all these texts from people, Happy New Year's, like, oh, everybody's texting me. I didn't get any texts this year.
Yeah.
I feel like social media kind of like eliminated the need to text people. Now it's just like I'll post about
right.
it on fucking my story, and right. you can see it at your leisure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of true. I wonder too, like I think at least at midnight I made more of a decision to be like in the moment in our party rather than like texting people
or videoing it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been rejecting the phone a bit more recently and it feels good. It feels right for me.
I saw another guy with a tiny phone, that like small phone that doesn't have any apps on it, just like text.
Oh, the light
calls.
Phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still thinking.
Are you
about
willing?
That. I think I'm not willing to like go through the hassle of switching my phone. If I could snap my fingers and test out a light phone, I would be happy to do it for like a month and be like, let's see what happens. But
you
I
almost
don't
need
like,
it
order
as a secondary.
Phone, transfer my content.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like something I'd have to try when like every single other aspect of my life is settled. But I have like, I got errands to run today. Got to go pick things up at the post office. Got
to
buy dog
I need to be
food.
On Snapchat like, for that.
Yeah.
I absolutely I'm trying need to be on Twitter.
I'm trying to be on my phone less in lines. I think that's, I don't know why, because it's like a line is kind of the best time to use your phone.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to like... move through a line like a zombie, just looking down, kind of shuffling forward as other people do.
Yeah. I mean, that is a lot of it. It's just like, you're in a line of like 13 and you're just like, all right, I'm going to be present. God, this sucks. I'm going to look at my phone.
Right. You look at it when you're bored. And, yeah. And then you start being bored in situations where you shouldn't necessarily be bored. Like, oh, I'm sitting in this room with someone I love, but right. I'll look at my phone.
It's
I'm
a
little
slow
bored.
Time. Yeah. In this movie.
Right.
So I guess I might as well check right. my phone. I mean, it's a slow time in the movie.
It's a slow time in the movie. Oh, I watched The Godfather last night. Did
For
I tell
the first
you
time ever?
The Jill... So when I had COVID, shout out to you, I watched The Godfather for the first time, never seen it. Mm-hmm. Watched it technically not with Jillian, but she was watching on an iPad downstairs and I was watching upstairs in the TV room.
Oh, I see. Like a remote
and I loved
date
it.
Night. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
It's actually
then,
pretty good.
Yeah. People were saying two is even better. And uh-huh. I watched two last night. And I thought it was really good. I didn't think it was better, but I thought it was really good.
Yeah. And then I hear not great things about three.
Yeah. I wonder if I'll even see three. I guess maybe I will because I'm like mildly curious. But it feels good to have seen one and two.
Yeah. I wonder what other classics are out there that you just haven't ever checked out.
This is you and I should do a movie podcast where we just watch. Oh yeah, didn't we talk about this once? Where we watch like the 100 best movies of all time or something?
Yeah, all these movies that we haven't seen.
Yeah,
I wonder if there's any podcast where people watch movies. It feels like it's kind of uncharted territory.
Untapped.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Well, there were no advice shows when we started this one.
So yeah, we're actually grandfathered into any idea that we spin this off into. Technically, our movie podcast will have started on 2013.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of questions, this is one from a freaking guy at in college, if you can think about, if you can believe it. And I believe it's a British college.
Nice.
Why don't we call this guy Eric?
Love it.
I'm writing you in dire need because I'm currently in a lukewarm.
Eric Dyer.
Yeah. Eric Dyer says he's in dire need because he's currently in a lukewarm pursuit of an absolute dime piece. The story begins at the start of my college's current semester when I entered my English class and noticed, maybe this person isn't from England, I just saw English class. When I entered my English class and noticed a strapping young female classmate. In England, do they take English class? Or is that just an American thing?
Right. It is weird that we just call it English.
Yeah. Like, I have in England, they're not taking American classes.
English. Yeah.
I'm learning the language that I know and love. Halfway through the semester, she came up to me after class and we began to chat. Next thing I know, we're getting hour-long lunches together after most classes and things are going swimmingly. After several post-class meals, I decided to ask if she wanted to go out sometime. And though I didn't call it a date, I think my intentions were fairly clear. She said yes. I got her number. I was flying high. But 2 hours before our scheduled meetup, she texted me saying that she forgot her dorm had a mandatory drugs and alcohol class to go to, so she couldn't go out anymore. Cupid yanked the arrow right from under my heart, and I lost all hope. Did everything fall apart after our date fell through? Do you think her new post-class meetups are her way of showing that she doesn't want to get lunch or talk to me anymore? Should I even continue my lukewarm pursuit, or am I just being paranoid? Help!
Wait, the post-class meetup stopped at this point?
However, we haven't been able to get lunch because she's had to meet up with someone else after every class.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, a mandatory drug and alcohol class in the dorm feels like a legitimate excuse.
But at the beginning of relationships,
she could be giving you the Jake fadeaway. She certainly could be giving you the Jake fadeaway.
Yeah, like one date being rescheduled is enough to completely derail this entire potential relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think I had a formula for this. It was like, two dodged texts and a canceled plan or something. Two canceled plans and a dodged text or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think I think you're allowed to, now you have the number.
Mm-hmm.
She canceled on the date because of a mandatory class that she had to take. I think you could say, hey, if you want to reschedule that date or reschedule the drink, reschedules like, let me know, or suggest, maybe not let me know, maybe suggest a time and see what happens. And if she says no but doesn't give you a new time, then it's over.
It's hard because, like, you don't want to be the only, like, she says I can't make it, and then you'd be like, all right, what about this time? Or it's like, why do I always have to come up with, like, the rescheduled plan?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, some people like to be pursued, and she's like, well, you never asked to reschedule, so I wasn't interested in that either. You do have to sort of attempt to swing the bat if you want to get a hit. It's seemingly like, but if she keeps saying no, 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 then you have to, like, at one point realize, okay, I've struck out and I have to move on to my next at bat.
The thing, like, taking this additional swing is not embarrassing. You, like, on paper, you were hanging out after class.
Yeah.
You asked her out. She said yes, canceled before, and you asked her out again. That's all super normal, and it's especially not embarrassing if she becomes your girlfriend, then you guys get married, okay? That can happen.
Then it's like, pursued her, and I finally got it, and now she's into me too.
Or you can let this really petty thing eat you alive and be like, well, she canceled, so she never ever wants to see me again, right? It's like, that's not necessarily, that's a projection. So
I feel like I used to be that, where I, like, I would never want to, like, I would never want to be, like, a pursuer to the point where I've erred on the other side, where it's like, okay, she pushed one date, I'm gone, I'm never going to talk to her again, but I didn't embarrass myself, and that's that.
Yeah. And I think ultimately you did embarrass yourself
by not pursuing more.
by missing out on love.
Yeah. But this person, you know, is, like you said, hasn't embarrassed himself yet. So far, there was just one attempt, yeah. one push. You can give another nudge.
The thing is, always it's always the people that are... This is almost too self-aware. This is almost... you swing too far to the other way. But, like, it's always somebody that has this level of inner monologue that that is doing the most normal thing. So, like, right. I really don't think that you can be like, oh, man, I came on too strong. Because you're afraid to ask her out again after she said yes. So you shouldn't be.
Right. You also, you're so far from being the creepy person in a DM where it's like, hey, how's it going next week? Hello. Can you read these next week? Hello. What's going yeah. on? Why aren't you responding? You fucking bitch. I'm talking to you. Why aren't you saying anything? You see those right. online and you're like, I don't want to be that, but I think you're
right.
at the polar opposite end of that.
It sounds like you're not that.
Yeah. You're currently not that. And even one more attempt to hang out would leave you very far away
still
from that.
Still not
as
that.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So if you like her, ask her out one more time. And if she says no, then you can think it's over.
Two strikes and you're out. That's how it works.
Yes.
Although is a rescheduled attempt, is that a foul ball where you can just keep doing that? Or is that considered a strike?
I think at a certain point you have to take a hint. If you've asked her out like five times and she's like, had a reason to decline each one individually, but hasn't had the courage to overall reject you. I think that's, you have to take some of that on yourself.
Right.
But I think you can ask her out and be like, are you free next Thursday for whatever? And then she says, if she says no, mm-hmm. you could theoretically ask her out one more time.
Wow.
After that, we'll call it three strikes.
Yeah. And one foul tip.
Yeah.
But the first two foul tips are strikes.
Right. The last one, I think you can just be like, okay, like, so, all right. So you ask her out. She says yes, then has to reschedule. You say, how about this date to reschedule? She mm-hmm. says no. And then you can say, I think what I would do in this situation, I would be like, okay, let me know if there's a time that works for you. Mm-hmm. I'm around. And that's it.
Because yeah, like you balls like, in your court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm bad at fucking finding a time, so let me know and I'll right. make myself available.
I don't know your schedule, so clearly yeah. I'm just I'm finding my way in the dark and it's not working, babe. Yeah. Okay,
but imagine if she's like, hey, can you do next Thursday at noon, and there was a alcohol and drugs thing at his dorm, he'd be like, yes, definitely. I'll fucking skip this right. meeting. I'll just, not go to this funeral.
Right, exactly.
Like, you're priority exactly. number one.
Yeah, I love you, girl.
Is that too early to say before our first date?
I'll be there, and I brought you a fucking necklace. How's that?
It's a promise, Rose. So promise to be with me, Rose. All right, let us know. Follow a pup. Although I should say this email is from 12 and a half years ago. So maybe they are already together with child.
That'd be awesome. Let us know.
Let us know how that, yeah, for sure let us know. Okay, let's take another break, answer some more questions after these massages.
Yes, please.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Yo, yo.
All right. We got another question. This one's from a lady.
Okay.
Interesting topic, which is the idea of an emotional fuckboy.
Emotional fuckboy. Yeah. Okay. Let's call this lady Erica Dyer.
That's really good. I started talking to this guy, a 22-year-old girl living in Massachusetts. I started talking to this guy, and from day one, it felt different. He put the kind of time, effort, and emotional intimacy into our conversations and dates that you don't come up with if you just have a hookup situation. Mm-hmm. He was open and emotional from the start, and it felt like we were dating. Although, of course, I never assumed this, but we were talking about his family. He asked about mine, regularly cooking for me, calling me randomly to tell me things about his day. I don't know, sounds like dating to me, but sure. Our physical and emotional chemistry were crazy, and he even introduced me to his friends on the second date. He obviously had been telling them about me because they knew a few things about me. He texted me things like, I just saw a cute old couple holding hands and it made me emotional. The sex was unbelievably good. And he never initiates a what is this conversation. So I finally tell him I have feelings for him, which I thought were obvious to begin with. And he says, I really enjoy your company, but I'm not in a place to pursue things in that way. And I don't want to lead you on.
That's cuckoo.
I feel very blindsided. My question is, was this all an act? It felt too real to be an act. I couldn't have made it up all in my head. Is this the new kind of player that I have found that gets very emotional? Why take all the time and energy to do that? Or did he actually care about me and just freaked out? I didn't even ask for a relationship. My exact words were, I care about you and I care about whatever this is. Can you shed some light about whether this was an elaborate, time-consuming act that I should look out for in the future? Are fuckboys evolving? Help me understand. Thank you so much.
This guy is me.
To a T in 93.
It's me 15 years ago. It's
so is it an act or he's just, it's a brain thing where he's literally convincing himself that he's in full-on love with somebody?
Everyone's different, and for some people, being emotional and having those connections is like, that's them letting their guard down more than they're really comfortable with. Uh-huh. But some people are just instinctually vulnerable, almost as a defense mechanism, like me. I am very, very open when I meet somebody. I like to connect on an emotional level instead of like a shallow one. But often I'm doing that in my head with lots of different people. And that can make people feel blindsided for sure. Somebody that isn't used to someone that is like that.
Yeah. If you were doing that style of courtship and then somebody's like, I care about what this is, would it freak you out to the point of like, never mind, I don't want to lead you on, bye?
Maybe when I was 22 and I didn't realize then that everybody wasn't like me. So I think this 22-year-old guy has some maturing to do to realize that like when he's behaving like this, he's sending a message to people, which is something that I realized ultimately.
Yeah.
So you need to say this kind of thing up front, because it is normal to be like, oh, if somebody cares about me this much, that's the beginning of a relationship. But some people are like, this is just how I am with everybody. I'm just an open person.
And you'll introduce people to your family and friends that early on?
I can't even tell you how many girls my parents met. So many.
It's not like a big step in your relationship mind. It's like, I'm finally going to introduce this person to my parents. It's like, no, we went on a date, had a sleepover once, and now you're meeting my mom for brunch on a whim.
I used to show my grandfather girls I matched with on Tinder.
Who's that hoe? And that's you talking.
I think I just like talking about romance, and I like I don't know. I was very earnest in those situations, and I meant it all, but it just was fleeting. So that it wasn't dishonest. I just needed to learn who I was better to protect other people from me.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Yeah, and I always did. So every single first date that I went on, I was like, oh, I could marry this person. And then I would go home and wake up and not think about them anymore. It was
not so it's almost like if it's in front of you, you're excited and emotional. And then when it's taken away, you're like, what's next?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a puppy dog. And Everybody that listened to the early episodes of this podcast knew this stuff about me.
You didn't have object permanence.
Yeah, and I've matured. So this person will too. But I do think that they're not necessarily doing all this just to fuck with you. I think they're young. They don't know who they are either. But you're teaching them a valuable lesson by being like, I thought you really liked me because you texted me when you saw an old couple. Yeah. That's like not a normal thing for me.
So
maybe you can just explain to them how to communicate with you better.
But like, do you want somebody who is feeling like that and thinking that to like just, I'm not going to text this person that because it's leading them on? Or do you want them to be themselves and find someone that likes that and is ready to whatever?
Yeah. I mean, those are great questions to ask this person. I think that you're allowed to have like follow-up conversations about this. You know, like if you're sleeping together, you can be like, this is what I'm getting from you. If that's not what you want, then we need to like talk about it.
Yeah. It's like when you go out on a few dates with someone and you're like, I miss you, but you don't want to say I miss you because that's like, whoa, mm-hmm. that's like really intense, a serious yeah. thing to say after a few dates.
Right.
Would you advise somebody to not text somebody I miss you if they genuinely miss them?
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would.
Right, which is weird because it's like not really the be yourself advice.
Right.
Be yourself,
yeah.
But don't let other people see yourself.
I think you can, yeah, be yourself within reason.
Yes.
Within reason, of course.
Don't stop thinking I miss you.
Yeah.
Just stop saying right. I miss you.
Yeah, I think you have to use contextual, I don't know. Yeah, everything has context. So like you might be feeling that. Maybe it's yourself to say something like that, but maybe you know that this other person won't necessarily respond to it because they think and act differently than you. Yeah. So maybe you wait and you think it in your head.
Because that could freak somebody out. The I miss you text too early on, or the I care about sure. you, or the I saw an old couple holding hands and yeah. it made me think about what the future with you could be.
Totally. But maybe you're hanging, like maybe you're, it's early in the relationship and you're having those sleepovers that like last until the afternoon and you're saying these things in person, like I like spending time with you. This is so nice. And then you do feel confident enough to throw out an I miss you on week three. And that could work. It's all subjective, man.
Right. Because what if you're like, I miss you, and the other person's like, I totally miss you too. And then you have a passionate romance that yeah. leads to a long marriage. That's also in play / possible.
There's truly no right answer. It's either the perfect thing to say or it closes the door on what otherwise would have been a good relationship. Or maybe you say it and it's right in the moment, then you regret it. You're either fucked or you nailed it each time, every yeah. time you open your mouth. So just keep on keeping on, brother.
So basically, we don't really know what to say.
This is our last show.
Yes.
This is over. Yes.
I mean, you've told someone you love right, them on wrong. Drugs at a concert.
Yes.
And
yes.
it was too early, and they reciprocated, and then they were confused yes. when you broke it off. Why would you break it off with me? You said you loved me at the right. fucking film festival.
And I regretted it at the time, but now, with even more space, 10 years later, I think that's a fun part of my history that I enjoy.
Yes.
So even when you fuck up, it's good.
It
unless
leads
you fuck
to...
up really bad and then
yeah.
it's bad.
Yeah. You don't want to hurt others, of course. It's just right. part of your growing pains, and you didn't do anything wrong in the moment you did love that person. What, were you just not going to say it? That would have been yeah. bad too. I love you.
The DJ told me to.
Molly.
He said, look at the person you're with in the eyes and tell them you love them. And I said it. I said it because fucking the, oh God, what was the DJ's name?
And where was it? Burning Man?
It was at Burning Man. Yeah.
That doesn't count. Burning Man yeah. love is not real world love.
Yeah.
That's not
yeah.
how it goes.
It was for the night.
All right. Good luck, lady. And right. good luck, all of you.
Yes.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this episode. Sorry it was a little late, but you know, it's technically a holiday today, so I hope you yeah. understand.
Everybody knows how hungover I was yesterday now.
Yeah, you weren't able to record. You were
no.
busy puking / jumping into the ocean.
That was not going to happen.
That's right. And I saw rain, so we were all dealing with different levels of trauma.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll be back, of course, next week. And for more of us, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Right on.
That one also never takes a break. Every Thursday, we're watching Jake and Amir videos, commenting on them, reminiscing, going down memory lane.
Indeed.
One more time, that theme song was Eric, who has a Halloween-themed single slash music video called Devilish Ways that listeners can check out.
Fuck yeah.
So thank you, Eric. Thanks to you guys for listening. Yeah. And you can email us your own questions at ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Amazing.
Ciao for now.
Thank you.
Yeah, picture yourself in a sticky situation. What the hell? You don't want to face it. What else can we do but turn to the internet for advice? That's right, because everybody with a semi-successful sketch show should be able to offer some advice to help you get through. If I were you, tell me what to do, cause I don't wanna be here. This is Jake and Amir. If I were you, tell me what to do, cause I don't wanna be here. This is Jake and Amir. Listen to If I Were You.
That was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.